for worshiping together with us. If you have your Bible, you can go ahead and open up to the book of John chapter 10. John, the 10th chapter. Rome, Colossae, Ephesus, Northwood, Vestavia. What do all those names have in common? Of course, they're cities, but they're also local churches, then and today. Local churches. Why were they set up? What purpose do they serve? What work do they do? Why do they exist? God's Word teaches us some very important lessons about His local church. And these lessons are so important because if we want to grow together in unity, if we want to continue to grow in our momentum, and I believe God has really blessed this congregation. I think God is doing some wonderful things here. I can't say how excited I am about Brother David coming here in June. But for all these lessons and for all these studies, can we truly understand what the local church is about? That it's about you, that it's about me, and what God wants us to do. What I'd like to do over the next month, and not every lesson I preach is going to be about this subject, but I'd like to do about five lessons. Lessons that talk about just what the local church is. Very foundational lessons. That it's fully loyal to God. That the local church is built on divine authority. The church here is not a man-made entity or a tradition, but it's built on Christ's Word. That our congregation here at Northwood is consistent with its nature. That the church is a spiritual organization or a group of people. And that it's consistent with its purpose, the same purpose that God gave the early churches, to work, to worship, to evangelize, to edify, to be benevolent to certain groups, just like it was in the New Testament. And finally, that the local church is working. And how exciting is it when we get together, when we work to spread the gospel, to encourage one another. And so what I'd like to talk about this morning is simply a foundational point. Starting at square one, to consider our personal loyalty to Jesus Christ as the foundation for the local church. Why are you here this morning? Why am I here this morning? It's because we've died to ourselves. It's because we are trying to serve God. It's because we gave ourselves over to God and became a Christian of Christ. If we've committed to follow our Savior in every walk of life, who is our King, then we need to know the impact that the King has on the kingdom. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, our loyalty to Jesus Christ within the local church, being fully loyal to God. First of all, what we should notice is very simply, our attitude or understanding who Christ is and His relationship to us affects the church here, as it should. We're not going to turn there, but in John chapter 10 and verse 27, it describes us as His sheep. We follow the shepherd because He's our shepherd, because we love Him, because we fear Him, because we serve Him. But even more than that, turn to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, a passage that most of you have probably turned to many times in your life. But have you ever stopped to think? And I know that, I don't know if Greg is here this morning. Greg is a contractor. He's been with us for a few months now. Something I've learned about a builder is he goes around the country and builds these great buildings and these government different things. And it takes a lot of work and effort to do something like that. And I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, what Jesus says to Peter. When he's discussing with him in verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am the Son of Man?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Every Christian, every believer who is in Christ is part of God's church and meet and worship as local congregations. But I want you to notice here at the very beginning what it's built on. The confession of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He has built us. If He hasn't, what do we stand on? We can't stand on traditions that have been handed down to us, can we? We can't. We can't stand on alone creeds or doctrines. We've got to stand on Jesus because He built us. He is our cornerstone. He established us in the apostles' doctrine. But even more than that, He sanctifies us as His bride. You know, when you think about building, that's kind of just a very straightforward term, to build. But when you talk about the sanctification that Jesus does for us and sets us apart for a very special purpose, that's very special. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, if you will, and we're going to look at a couple of things that Jesus does for His church that helps us to understand our loyalty to Him and Him alone. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. Back up to verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. The Word is what Christ has washed us with, is what Christ has made us clean with. It's what separates us, that we only follow God's Word. But continue reading verse 27. That He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. I think of all places, this passage is clear. God wants us to be set apart, different, not just any church, His church, only His. Are we striving to follow that this morning in all that we do in our teaching, in our doctrine, in our classes? And we'll talk about that more in a minute. But He also loves and leads us. You know, what would you think about a husband who marries his wife? That's glorious, right? Who has a good relationship, but then leaves her to herself and works away from her completely, never sees her, never talks to her, never instructs her, never guides her, never helps her. But Christ does not do that to us. If you continue reading in verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does His church. He nourishes us. He builds us up through the Word. When we pray, He builds us up through intercession. But keep reading here. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. As the Northwood Church, if we are going to be of Christ or of God, we cannot do, practice anything He would not do because we are of Him. We belong to Him and He honors us as His family. How do you think about that relationship? Having Jesus, who's obviously part of the Godhead, but He's also like our brother. It's a beautiful relationship. But Jesus expects us to be loyal to Him in that relationship. But we also should remember one thing. We need to practice the right doctrine. We need to say and do what God would have us to do. But are we excelling in that? Are we growing in that as a local church? It's interesting when you turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that when Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, he doesn't just say, "No, I want you to continue to do what you're doing." That's good. And I believe at the Northwood congregation, we are trying to follow God's Word. We're doing the best we can to serve Him and put Him first and to only follow His Word. But you know, Paul says that's not quite enough. He says in verse 1 to the church at Thessalonica, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and please God." excel. That you should excel more and more. So what does this mean on the surface? It means that all of our members understand God's Word and why we do what we do here. And we're able to teach others and to defend our practice if it did come under scrutiny. It means that you don't have to call the elders or the preacher per se. You can answer yourself and you grow in that because you're of Christ. Because that's what His local church is called to do, to be fully obedient to Him. So what would this look like if we were able to do this? How would this happen? How do we do this? Well, there are four attributes that I think that we would follow if we would have this. The first thing is that we fully understand. Now, am I to that point? No. But are we working toward that point? I hope so. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 15, that if you love me, keep my commandments, which means when we're trying to serve God and trying to put Him first, that's not legalistic. That's love. Because we love Jesus. We want to do everything He's told us to do. We serve Him. We put Him first in our life. It's interesting to me sometimes that when we do lessons like this, sometimes you may be sitting there in the audience thinking, well, I've heard this lesson 100 times, and I know what we're supposed to be doing here. We're supposed to be doing the acts of worship. We're not supposed to be doing this. We're not supposed to be doing that. But I don't want these lessons to be about that. I want us to challenge ourselves to grow to a biblical understanding of those things. That you yourself can turn to God's Word and know what God tells His church to be, to do, to practice. Can we get to that point? Maybe the best way to put it would be, we grow to a biblical understanding that rests solely on the truth. Sometimes we get concerned about taking sides, but our understanding should be God's Word. Not any man, not any book, not any doctrine, but God's Word. So can we get to that point? I hope and pray that we can. We're not going to turn to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. But I want you to notice from that context what he says there. In verse 15 he says, but speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up and be like you should be. But then he says that you wouldn't be swayed by all kinds of different doctrines and ideas. The whole purpose of Christians, the local church, is where we won't be persuaded to do things that God has not given us the right to do. And how important is that? That the basis for what we do is in the Scriptures. And we can turn to it. We can show people. That's what makes us of Christ. But it's also about obeying. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9 says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. We talked about this a lot with Jericho yesterday. And with Rahab and with all the lessons. Sometimes when we as God's people study the work of the church, sometimes people say things after we're done teaching like, well, I know it says that, and I know this is what they did in the New Testament, but this is a good idea too. And I'm not saying there aren't a lot of good ideas out there, but if we increased our devotion for God to the point to where it doesn't matter how things looked in our eyes, wouldn't we be the local church as Christ intended for us to be? It doesn't matter what I think. I don't care about my opinion. It's about what God says. How many times do we think about things like this? About, for example, living together before marriage. If our congregation were to find out that someone was living together before marriage, our congregation wouldn't stand for that. That they'd be living in sin. Now, somebody may say, well, they should live together before marriage because that's the status quo. But the Bible calls that fornication. That's not my opinion. That's something we can turn to God's Word in and show. I hope and pray that we are always preparing to fully obey. I hope we're always preparing to fully appreciate, though. I think a lot of times when you think about God's Word, sometimes it's about the what. It's about what we do. And that's important, and that's true. But have you ever stopped to fully appreciate why? Why has God given us the examples He's given us in the New Testament of churches worshiping this way, and serving this way, and giving this way, and teaching this way? In other words, why do we have men teachers and preachers only in the New Testament churches? Why do we only sing in the New Testament churches? Why do we only lay by in store on the first day of the week in New Testament churches? Why do we only take the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day once a week? Why is that the pattern in New Testament congregations? Have we stopped to appreciate that? The fact that God has called His church to certain tasks, and not just tasks, but privileges. Think about the privilege we have to come here and to do those things, and to do things the way God wants us to. Just like in Jericho, when they marched around the wall one time per day for 7 days, and then the seventh day they marched around seven times. I'm sure they were probably like, well, that's not quite the way I would defeat this wall. But what a privilege it was to be there that day and to accomplish God's call and His mission. We can appreciate that. Just like today, we appreciate the way God calls His church to be. 1 John 5 verse 3 says, His commands are not burdensome to us. I don't think we should ever look at His commands and say, well, we can only do this or we can only do that. And that, I appreciate God's ideas. I appreciate His commands. And we're going to stand in them. In fact, in Romans 16 verse 3, it says, when we follow after Him, we are His co-workers. I'm literally working beside Christ when I do the things He wants me to do. How wonderful is that? That when we appoint elders based on the qualifications of elders, we're standing beside Jesus. When we worship on the first day of the week, as God's commanded us to take the Lord's Supper, we're standing right beside the Lord. When we don't do things that when some people come in and kind of look around our congregation and they say, well, I don't see this, or I don't see that, and we're able to sit down and turn to God's Word and say, well, this is why we don't have this. This is why we don't have a gymnasium, for example. We can turn to God's Word and show them. Not because we're haughty, not because it's a tradition, not because we think we know better, but because we're trying to follow God's Word. Do we fully appreciate the way God has given His local church to be? And finally, do we fully trust in God? You know, I think one thing about marriage is that's similar to the relationship that Jesus has with His church is that you get to the point to where you just have to trust. And isn't it awesome when you can marry someone and you never have to worry about them, or we never have to worry about not trusting them? In other words, you have confidence in them. And I think about our relationship with Christ. And I think about there's a lot of times when Jesus just flat out says, trust me. Trust me. Lay by in store upon the first day of the week. Trust me. Teach local church that the laws I give you on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, trust me. Could we have a whole lot more people if we didn't teach the truth on things like that? Maybe. But would they be following Jesus? Would our foundation be on Him? No. So do we fully trust God in all that we do? Are our aims His aims? Whatever brings glory to Him, do we do that? Are we happy about that? Everything else, as attractive as it may be, is just simply not important because it's not of God. Isaiah 55 and verse 11, His Word is enough for us. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus is enough for us. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, His resources are abundant for us. That was 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. And 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, His growth He provides is wonderful. Because if we grow based on anything besides His Word, what have we really grown in? Ourselves? Our own teaching? Our own ideas? It's not Christ. And so as we close, I just want to think about a few things. Satan, I think, attacks local churches. And I don't just think that. God's Word reveals that to us. But I think it happens more than we may think it is. To give up out of fear, to be like or to look like other whatever groups, to improve God's plan. I was talking to a friend of mine recently, and I think Adam Andrews kind of referenced it in his lesson yesterday at Vacation Bible School, if you weren't here, about some different ideas on some different Bible teachings, and we point out that's the way it is, but a friend of mine who's a referee, said, yeah, but Justin, if we taught that in our congregation, we would lose a lot of our members. And that is a tough pill to swallow. But if you're following God's Word, if you're serving the Lord, if you're teaching His plan, they haven't left your congregation, they've left His church. It's not about you. It's about Him. And so do we try to do things like that? Do we put our traditions over God's laws, both in a positive and negative way? I went to one congregation that the joke was they had like 30 songs that they led, and everything outside of those 30 songs was prohibited. Do we put our traditions over God's laws? Do we bind things that aren't bound? Do we break under persecution? Do we follow false teachers? Do we fall asleep spiritually? Falling asleep spiritually and being apathetic is just as dangerous as following false teachers. Do we ever do that? And finally, do we just become satisfied? And that's what I'll leave you with this morning. The church at Laodicea had become satisfied. They were happy with where they were. And guess what? That became lukewarm. But I hope today that the Christians here, and I believe this, are making a commitment, have made a commitment to loyally follow Jesus. Loyally. And I hope you consider your commitment this morning. It's not blind. It's not something you do because you just come here because your parents. It's not illogical. It's a commitment that you made because you were so impressed with what Jesus had done for you and what the Lord has done for you. And that you can't help but prostrate yourself before Him and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Just like in Joshua. Just like we studied yesterday. And that with immense gratitude, we can say we've committed ourselves to the Lord because He was willing to commit Himself to us. Wasn't He? John 16:24, Jesus said to His disciples, If anyone wishes to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. Let's all be steered by that sacrifice this morning He was willing to make for you. Let's all commit our life to Him this morning. I thank you so much for your attention. I'd like to have a prayer this morning.